Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 140, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 140.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 26th chapter, beginning with verse 14 through verse 35. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 14. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many and for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung in hymn, And they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, Thou who hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world, and who went, as we have read, so willingly forward unto the payment of that awful price, Thou knowest the who and what we are. And when He has made, as we have read, was His own declaration, when He has made the payment for the remission of sins, then we are gathered week by week, gathered around Thy holy word, to hear about this remission, that price that He has paid. And Lord, Thou knowest that we have in us no desire, that there is in that payment, there is no form, there is no comeliness. We see nothing in it. And Thou knowest the reason, for we are unbelievers. And we, as Thou sayest in Thy word, we believe that we will live forever. And therefore we call our lands after our own names. And we do not believe that also we are going to die, and that we are going to appear in that great judgment, and that we will have to give an account, that we will have to pay the price for our own sin. Lord, this matter that does not weigh upon our soul. And we are come together in this afternoon before Thy countenance, and then to hear something again of that payment. And Lord, then there is nothing in us that it can receive it with pleasure. As we have heard in this morning hour out of Thy word, then there is nothing suitable to us. By nature, we do not see wherein that there is a beauty in it. Oh, then we need that work of Thy Spirit. We need open eyes in this afternoon in order that this Thy holy word would never testify against us. And that that great gift and that Thou hast given in Thy Son, and that it may not be to the eternal gnashing and weeping of each and every one of us forever and forever. Lord, wilt thou prevent it? We cannot prevent it, and because we are by nature dead, and we have no power over that death. That is a spiritual death, and thou thyself hast broken that power, and thou hast risen from the dead, and thou hast power over life and death. That thou saidst, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. And thou didst speak so many times in this world, when thou didst say, I say unto thee, arise. Lord, could it please thee to come also in this afternoon hour, and to speak that word in our midst, to many souls, that we may be given that life that hungers and that thirsts, that life that is burdened, with iniquity, with sin, that which has no form for us in this moment, that it may become altogether lovely. And that which we hope to hear in this afternoon, that it may have such a place in our heart, that it may be so precious to us. Lord, thou alone can do it. Thou can do it in the life of those who have become old under the preaching. And thou can do it in the life of those who are so cold and so hard. Thou can do it in the life of the youngest child. Oh, thou art almighty. Thou art all powerful. And we beseech thee, Lord, show it. Oh, come then with thy power. Stretch forth thy mighty arm and show us, O Lord, thy power. Show us that thou art still alive. We and our dear children, that it may become evident in the midst of our families, and that that life from above that is still worked by thy Spirit, that thou may make thy people to rejoice, and that thou may give us also to see one day the fruit of our labors in the midst of this our flock. Lord, remember us all for the needs of a time and eternity. Remember her that also was brought home from the hospital in the week that is gone by, and that still suffers much pain in her body. Wilt thou heal her further, the bones that are fractured, that thou may bring her up again with her husband to thy house, and be with them in the place where they are. And wilt thou supply for each and every one and that has special needs? Do look thou upon the world in which we are living. Oh, that thou may spare us yet, that thou may keep away yet from us and from our children that awful tribulation and that thou speakest of in thy word. Lord, what a tribulation that shall be, and what a line that shall draw. But Lord, that thou may yet spare us, and that thou may give us yet time to bend our knees and to seek thee while thou art still to be found. But bind that need so firmly in our souls that we could not let thee go except thou bless us. And wilt thou look on all those that are in powerful places in this world, Lord, that thou may convert them, and that thou may open their eyes, and that we may be led according to thy truth. Remember all thy truly sent servants. Over the length and breadth of the whole world, wilt thou give what they have not in and of themselves, Could it please thee to truly increase their number? Remember all children that are wayward and that have departed to ways that are not thy truth. Oh, could it please thee to bring them again with weeping and with supplications? Lord, look upon each and every one, all those that have needs that are secret and that are weights upon their shoulders, that thou may give us to bear the burdens of one another, but that thou, who knowest the heart, may uphold with thine everlasting arms, and do instruct us in all of these ways. Be with all those that mourn, and wilt thou help now in this afternoon hour. Lord, be on our right and on our left. Give us the unction of thy Spirit that may be evident in the fruit, and that thou may receive all the honor thyself, and our souls the benefit. That we ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 55, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me, and with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me and makes me safely rest. We announced that the last collection today is for our school, that the seniors' morning in Lethbridge on Wednesday, October 7, has been canceled, and that the ladies' aid also this Tuesday evening here in Fort McLeod has been canceled. Psalter 55, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Do this in remembrance of me. And they are, congregation, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the words that he has spoken concerning the commemoration of the Holy Supper of the Lord. That he would have his church to remember him. And that even after he is gone from this world, and when he has taken his place at the right hand of his Father. And what is the reason, what is the purpose that he would have his church to remember him? That is, in the first place, for his honor, and in the second place, for their own comfort. We hope to see this. We do not read anywhere in the Bible that the Lord Jesus has spoken about how often that the Holy Supper is to be administered. We know that in the Old Testament and that the Passover that was administered once a year at the time of the Reformation, we know that the Lord's Supper that was administered very often, sometimes even once each week. It is our custom in a vacant congregation that this is also administered once or sometimes twice in a year, and where there is a minister that it is administered three times or four times in a year. The only thing that we read of the Lord Jesus saying is that it be administered continually, that it be administered repeatedly, that is, unto the end of the world. We live, of course, we have heard that so many times, that maybe our young people become tired of hearing that. But it is the reality that we live in days that are very dark. That there are so few who are actually able to commemorate that Holy Supper of the Lord with to a right end, that there are so few that are able to do it as he has commanded it in remembrance of him. That does not mean that the Holy Supper ought to be neglected. We have heard once of a servant of the Lord who has administered that Holy Supper when that he was the only one that was able to partake. Indeed, that a Holy Supper of the Lord is in itself instituted by the Lord for the strengthening of faith which is weak. It is our custom to often eat together, in a natural way. We hope that remains also your custom in your own homes, and that our young people are in the practice of being together with your mother and your father and your brothers and sisters around the table, and that it is not your practice to avoid this time unnecessarily. A time wherein father and mother may speak and children may speak, and that they may receive instruction and warning from their parents. That is a very blessed time when we may be together, and it is a time of communion. But there are some times They are special times that we are gathered together at a meal because there is something special that is to be communicated, that there is something special that we wish to say to one another. We read that, children, about Esther. And you know that Esther also had something very special to say, and that she would say this over a meal. The Lord Jesus has instituted his Holy Supper because and for the purpose of saying something unto his own church. And that is the reason that he says, do this in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper, a blessed institution for the welfare of his afflicted church. And we consider this for the next three Lord's Days, the Lord willing, beginning with Lord's Day 28 today in questions 75 through 77. Lord's Day 28, questions 75 through 77. Question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer thus. That Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup communicated to me, and further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life, with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer. It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, beside that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? Answer, in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed: the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread." So far, our Lord's Day, the sacrament of the Holy Supper. First, the assurance it provides. That is in question 75. Second, the substance it contains in question 76. And third, the basis of its commemoration, which we read in question 77. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the assurance it provides, the substance it contains, and the basis of its commemoration. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Who is, congregation, indeed, as our fathers say, admonished? Admonishment, that is, a mild rebuke. Admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper. Who is admonished and assured? That is, God's true church. And that is alone, that true church of God. You remember that we have spoken about the sacraments, and that we have said of those sacraments that faith that is presupposed in the sacraments, that is, in baptism and in that Holy Supper. Thus, faith that is in the first place necessary. Our instructors answered thus that Christ commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup. Thus, it is in the first place necessary to know whether there is something of that true and that living faith in my heart. Whether I am, as our fathers say, one of those true believers. It is, of course, nothing but a contradiction to begin to try to assure an unbeliever that he is a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. And that is why it is necessary that there goes before the Holy Supper a work of examination, self-examination and preparation for that Holy Supper. But that is not for today, because that our fathers discuss in Lord's Day 30. Why is it that the Lord has such an interest in the strengthening of the faith of his children? Because that is what we have heard is the purpose of the sacraments. Well, we have said that is in the first place for his own honor, and that is in the second place for the comfort of his children. How can it be, if God is a God of truth, and if there is but one God, how can it be that God is honored by unbelief in truth? That God receives honor when we do not believe that which is true, when we do not believe that which is actually the reality of life, then God does not receive, then God cannot receive honor by this. The Lord Jesus is therefore rebuking his own children often for their unbelief. There is, of course, a great difference. We have spoken of that before. A great difference between the state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief. We hope, young people, that you remember what that difference is. Because that state of unbelief is the state by nature that we are in. And when the Lord grants grace, then we are brought out of that state of unbelief. Then we begin to believe. Then faith is planted. But that does not mean that the church is always able to exercise that faith. And that is now what we mean by the condition of unbelief. All unbelief is sin. As long as we are speaking about something that we have a right to believe, as long as we are speaking about something that we are commanded to believe, as long as we're speaking about something that is true, as long as we're speaking about something that is reality, then every person in this world, and they are required, and it is to the Lord's honor that we believe that which is true. Of course, the very superficial world in which we live, the very superficial religious world in which we live, do urge all men to believe that they are partakers of Christ and all his benefits. That, congregation, is a lie. And that no one of us is required to believe. Because to believe this is to believe what is not true, which is in itself sinful. Thus, unbelief of the truth, unbelief of the reality that is not to God's honor. And therefore, the Lord is condemning unbelief. However, there is a second reason that the Lord is concerned in the strengthening of the faith of his children, and that is for their own comfort. The Lord delights in the comfort of his own church. And the Lord has taken great pains, we can read in God's word, to speak unto his church, and to say unto his church, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why is it necessary to comfort that little flock? It is only necessary to comfort them because that little flock has so many fears. And what is that one great fear? That one great fear is that they will remain forever outside of those who are partakers of Christ and all his benefits. That one great fear is that their own sin that will forever testify against them and will be the cause of their separation from that God whom they have come to love. And it is that great enemy of God's church who is attempting, as the Lord said would take place, to bruise the heel of Christ, that is to make attacks upon his church. Then it is his great attempt to discourage that true church. And thus those sheep that are in the midst of the flock, they are always in danger of being attacked by that prince of darkness. And they need to be protected. They need to be comforted. And therefore, the Lord's Supper is, as we read here, an admonishment and an assurance for a fearful flock of God. But how is that now? How is that that a person is actually assured in the Lord's Supper? Well, again, we have spoken about that concerning baptism. And we have said that that rite or that ceremony of baptism that is in itself empty. But why is there so much meaning and significance to that rite, to that ceremony? It is only because the Lord has given His promise. He has attached something to it. And that is now the same with the Holy Supper of the Lord. In itself, that is so meaningless. But the Lord has promised something. He has attached something which is so very valuable to that people. And if this were not so, there would be no assurance in this holy sacrament. But our fathers explain how that it is, thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of Him, adding these promises. First, that His body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and His blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that He feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with His crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Thus, there are promises that are attached unto this sacrament. And there are signs that are connected to this promise which have a symbolic meaning that point to this. Why? For the weakness of faith. That, as we have spoken of, that which is natural may be an aid to that which is spiritual. We know that in the Old Testament, that this pointed forward. That the Passover, that also was a sign, it was a symbol. And our children can understand that, that lamb that had to be without blemish. We have spoken a little of that lamb in this morning, that it is a lamb without blemish. And the fact that it is without blemish, that is such a comfort to those who are full of blemish. Thus, the way that the Lord has given those signs, they are for the instruction of His church. That that natural sign may be for them and help to that spiritual life. And for them pointing forward to that lamb that would be slain. And now we have in the New Testament that that it is looking backward, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of Him. And what is it in a special way that the Lord Jesus would have His children to remember? Because there are so many things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that can be brought out, that are revealed in His Word. We know that there are so many names whereby He has revealed Himself, that He has numerous offices with which He is endowed by His Father for the serving of His church. But now the Lord's Supper that is very particularly pointing and having to do with one of His offices. And what do you think that is, children? What do you think that is? When He came as the Lamb of God, and that Lamb that was without blemish, then you know whose work that was to lay that Lamb upon the altar. That was the work of the priest. Thus, the Holy Supper of the Lord, in pointing to this Lamb, has in a very special way to do with the priestly office. That His body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and His blood shed for me. Thus, it is a people that are called to remember His sacrifice. And then in a special way, that they may be assured, admonished and assured that that sacrifice was on their behalf. We know that in the Old Testament, that that promise of God concerning that Lamb that was sealed with the blood of a multitude of beasts. And now the Lord is giving this seal in the life of His New Testament church, that is that Holy Supper of the Lord. It is true, the disciples, in the instruction that they had received at the time that they may commemorate this Holy Supper with the Lord Jesus, were not led so very far. It is true that these disciples of the Lord did not understand very much about the priestly office of the Lord Jesus. We know that that which He still had to endure was for them a mystery. We know that it was still an offense to them. We have read this together. How that they were going to stand for His life, and they were going to prevent Him from accomplishing that priestly work. When the Lord Jesus has instituted that Holy Supper, then the disciples, they knew so very little about this priestly work. However, in that moment, we also know that the disciples did not need to remember the Lord Jesus. Why did they not need to remember Him? Well, because He was there. He was in their midst. They may see Him. They may speak with Him. But there was going to come a time later, when He has departed from them, that this Holy Supper will be for them so very, very significant. It would be a time when they would be in a natural way able to look back and to remember the sacrifice of this Lamb of God. Then it was possible that the commemoration of that Holy Supper that had gained for these disciples so much meaning, that then they began to understand the meaning of that Holy Supper. And for this reason, when we consider the requirements of the Holy Supper and what is necessary for a person, that they may do it in remembrance of Him, then we may not use the disciples and their condition, our example. Because that was, as it were, a special time that was the very institution of that Holy Supper of the Lord. And it would become for those disciples no different eventually than it is become also for the true Church of God today. Because when nothing of that priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed yet unto that people, and then there is for them so very little meaning and understanding of this supper. It goes over, of course, it is about the guilt of sin. And the guilt of sin, that is something that begins to be understood in the instruction of the Holy Spirit in that new birth. And thus, those that may come unto that table without knowledge of that mediator, thus we say they are not those that eat and drink judgment to themselves. No, there before them is actually that food that their soul desires, but they do not understand yet this object of faith. And then it is necessary that Christ be revealed to them as this sacrifice for sin to those who are guilty, to those who are worthy to be condemned. And then that meal that begins to have for that people so much significance. Because when he has revealed himself so to our soul, then it is possible for us to remember this. Then it is possible for us not only to look upon and to partake of physical food and drink, but then it is possible that through this meat and drink, that we may be led to that which the Lord has instructed us in. And what is that? That is our second thought, the substance that the Lord's Supper contains. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Where does that expression come from? To eat his body and to drink his blood. That is what the Lord Jesus has said himself. We can read that in John 6. And in that place, the Lord Jesus calls himself something. He calls himself the bread of life. And he says that it was his flesh which he would give for the life of the world. And he said it was necessary that men should eat it. That they should eat his flesh and drink his blood. What do you think, children? How was the Lord speaking? Was he speaking in a literal way about his body and blood that must be eaten and drunk? You say, no, no. That means he was speaking about something else. And what is he saying? Well, he said that he was that manna that has come down from heaven. And when we will eat something, then that food that is received by us in our body, and that as it were becomes part of us, that is for our nourishing, that is for our strengthening. And now the Lord Jesus is speaking about something which is spiritual. And the Lord Jesus says unto this multitude that he must not be followed for the bread, for the outward bread. No, he must be followed for that which is spiritual. And that which is spiritual must be taken in by them. It must be, as it were, ingested by them. That is that the Lord Jesus says, you must experience these truths. That you must not only know them with your mind, but this must become that which is food and drink unto your soul. When the Lord Jesus said this, then we read that many were not pleased. And many then departed from him. They said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? And many of his disciples, that is many of his followers, they went away from him. That is still so today. When we will only speak about the necessity of experiencing that truth, what that means actually to eat and to drink that truth, to eat and to drink that body and that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then indeed so many persons in this world are offended. But though man is offended, that does not take away the truth of it. And outside of that spiritual eating and drinking, there is no salvation for our soul. And that is now the substance of the Holy Supper of the Lord. It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, thus great matters, but also beside it, thus there is more, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Thus we heard there is a promise that is attached unto those signs. And though that promise that is in two things, that is in the first place that the Lord Jesus says, what I have done, that is for you. And in the second place, he says, I give you a promise that I am going to continue to feed you. What I have done that is for your spiritual good, your spiritual welfare, that is not for your natural eating. No, that is for the eating of your soul. That is for the forgiveness of your sin. That is for the removal of that which is between your soul and God. And not only so, but I will continue to grant to you the necessary refreshment from this, that you may be enabled to go forward in your life. And now the Lord speaks also here about the union between Christ and his church. That is the union that is portrayed in eating and in drinking. Food and drink. Then we become united to Christ by the application of this one sacrifice. What do we read? To become members of his body. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. We know that our body that is under our most tender care. And that is not only for us, but that is in a special way for the Lord Jesus. That when that church that is becoming his body, that church that is coming under his very special and his very tender care, so that what is to the hurt of that people, that is to the hurt of the head of that body. That he loves that church even as his own body, therefore he will feed, therefore he will nourish it. And not only so to unite it to himself, but also to unite that body together. Children, then we do not want our body to be separated, our arm, our hand to be separated from our body. No, we want our body to be united into one, so that is, people of the Lord, also with his church. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. That is not only in one congregation. No, we have spoken about that last night with our confession students. That is also in the whole world. One universal church, and they are united together. How? Through this body. Through this broken body and through this shed blood of Christ. What do we read? Governed by one Spirit. One Spirit who is instructing that people in the need for this one broken body. One Spirit who is instructing persons who are in all the ages of the world, who are all the countries of the world. One Spirit to give that same instruction in the need for this blood, that shed blood. That is how that there is a communion of the saints. That is how that God's children, they may, as it were, commune with the true children of God, even that are written of in the Word of God. When we may read in the Psalms what is written in the heart of God's church. That is why that many shall come from the east and the west, and they shall all sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and there they shall have communion. There they shall sing one song. It is the song of the Lamb that is slain from before the foundation of the world. That is the song of free and sovereign grace to those who have sinned against God and those who are unworthy to receive it. And that is now the purpose of the Lord's Supper. The purpose of the Lord's Supper, that is that that church may begin to sing. That may begin to sing by moments that song that they shall ever sing. What is that song? Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Let us sing 431, 1, 2, and 4. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthem sing. Glorious are His ways. To His name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 1, 2, and 4 of 431. our third thought, the basis of the commemoration of the Lord's Supper, where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper. Thus, that is a supper that was instituted, not given by man, but instituted by the Lord. And therefore, we must commemorate this supper repeatedly. When was that instituted? We read, in the same night in which he was betrayed. Thus, when Judas is ready, standing ready to betray him, and when the Pharisees and the scribes, they are busy in the darkness, they are plotting against him. Did the Lord Jesus know all this? Yes. He knew everything that was about to come upon him, even in this very night. Because he said to Judas, "That thou doest, do quickly." And with everything that was about to come upon him, with what is the Lord Jesus concerned? What is laying on the heart of Christ, that is the welfare of his people? That is not only the disciples, no, but that is his people even unto the end of the world. In this night, knowing everything that will come upon him, the Lord Jesus, he is instituting this blessed ordinance of this holy supper for that church until he comes again. What was that burden of that church that lay upon the heart of Christ? That was the weakness of their faith. How are they going to come through it? How are they going to come through everything that was going to come against them in their life? He knew what would come against the disciples in their life. And what is now also going to come against his children in their life, even unto the end of this world. Thus he knew the perplexities, he knew the riddles that were going to well up in the heart of his church. He knew the anxieties, the tribulations that were going to plague them, that were going to make them to fear. He knew that that time was not yet come and that these should be taken out of this evil world, but that they would have to continue yet in this world. And he knew also how weak, how many times did he not say, "O ye of little faith, how shall they then stand? How shall they then come through it?" He would have them to rest. He would have them to rest upon this mediatorial sacrifice of himself. He would have them to drink, as it were, amidst all the trials and all the tribulations in this life, both natural and spiritual. Then he would have them to drink of that blessed fountain which is that blood that is flowing out of his body. He would have the meek to eat and to be satisfied and to be strengthened for that journey that is before them. Thus, in this sacrament, he gives them a pledge that he is going to feed and he is going to nourish his church even unto the end of the world, no matter how dark that it becomes. But congregation, is there also a place now for that substance of that Holy Supper in our heart? Because that's Holy Supper that has such a great significance for the church of God. Indeed, it is about the most important thing in their life. A great significance for a church that is in herself, what? Weak. A great significance for a church whose faith falters. Because of themselves they have not faith as a grain of mustard seed. Can you say, people of the Lord, to that mountain of sin, just be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea? No, then you experience over and over that faith that needs to be given, that faith that needs to be strengthened. That is not a people that can lift themselves out of the pit and to place themselves upon a rock. They cannot give themselves a new song in their mouth. Ask them to sing once. Ask them to sing when their heart is fearing that it is going to be forever separation from that God whom they have come to love. And what will the Lord do in that holy supper? What does David say? Thou strengthenest me with strength in my soul. And when the Lord is reassuring his people by that promise in the Lord's Supper, then they receive strength from him. Strength despite what? Themselves. Strength to believe despite who they are, what they remain, that fountain of sin, that law in their members. And still to believe that it shall be well. Or to believe that he is going indeed to fulfill his own covenant because he is faithful. To believe it is well because he never will forsake the work of his own hands. Thus he will feed, he will nourish them. But congregation, do we have need now for that supper? Because we all have need for an earthly supper. We all have need for earthly food. Why? Because we are alive. And when we are dead, we don't need to eat. And when we are honest, then, in this afternoon, what meaning does that have for us? Parents who must teach our children, who must set an example for our children, what meaning does that have for us? No meaning at all. Grandparents and the youth that they have seen you come and go from the place of the holy year after year, must they hear yet from your mouth, and must they see yet also from your example that this which is set before you time after time has for you no place in your heart? Or when we are dead, then we have no need to eat and to drink. And congregation, there is laid before us food and drink. Food and drink. And we have no desire for it. How will that now be? On that day that we are passing from this life into eternity, how will that now be? Do you know what Solomon says? The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Full soul. Why? Why? Will you ask yourself this, young people? When you now go home today, when you now go home, and you say, what have now we heard in this afternoon? Yes, the minister spoke about the Lord's Supper. That is for God's people. We have seen it. Year old, few months old, few years old, passing. Eternity, forever, forever. It is true, that table that is for the Lord's people. But the substance of that table
Is that also for you? And when you will go home this afternoon, young people, fathers, mothers, everyone, and when we have to say now in our heart, when we are honest before God, when we have to say that the substance and the meaning, what is it? The forgiveness of sins. That means nothing to me. Nothing at all. Has no place in my heart. Why? Why? It is because we do not know our sin. It is because we do not believe that we are going to die. It is because we are unbelievers in the existence of God and the judgment that is coming soon. That is why. Will you ask the Lord, Lord, give me faith. Faith. True saving faith. That I may believe, that I may become a believer in the reality, in the truth, in my awful state and condition, who I am, what the relationship is between thee and me. Lord, let me not go on this way. Because what shall it be so to die? Having heard so many times that there is forgiveness in thee that thou mayest be feared. Having heard so many times in my life that it is without money, that it is without price, that there is no one who has sinned too much, too greatly. None. Heard that, known that, taught that. To die with no need for it. That is our greatest misery. That we do not see. We do not know our misery. And if the Lord, congregation, if the Lord would only open our eyes to see our misery, then there will be such a place for this Son of God. And then we will come one day also to say, behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Amen. O Lord, come. What can we do? What can we show? What can we put in the heart of a man? Lord, come. Come with thy spirit and bring it home. It is but the words that can come to the ears. Lord, it is from our side so full of shortcoming. But oh, come thou, bless one word, Lord. In the heart of young and old, that our misery, without hope, without God in this world, that may become our burden in this day, thy Sabbath day. Lord, it is urgent. It is a matter of life and death, and we hang by nature over that everlasting pit. One moment and the thread of our life can be cut off. Oh, how serious is our life. But Lord, we cannot see it except thou comest. We cannot see it, we will not believe it except thou givest faith. Oh, look on us, Lord, and grant us that life that dies not. Remember us now, bring us safely to our homes. And wilt thou give us to keep thy day holy, And wilt thou be with us in the week to come? Remember all that mourn and that must stand at an open grave. And be with us in all the labors of our hands, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 277, 1, 3, and 4. Oh, praise and bless the Lord, my soul. His wondrous love proclaim. Join heart and voice and all my powers to bless His holy name. 1, 3, and 4 of 277.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.